Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
Probably the worst thing that can happen to you as a landlord is you can have the combination 1-2 punch of a tenant not paying and at the same time trashing your house. And that is exactly what happened to Nikki Kenyon. Nikki, welcome to the show. Before we get into your story, why don't you tell us, how did you become a landlord?
Well, let's see. So we purchased the house in 2004. I was living there with my family, my now ex-husband, and three kids. And after the divorce, we decided to, you know, kind of split custody. So tried to sell the house. This was in 2011. And it was underwater. There was just no way. The economy was horrible. I would have wound up losing a lot of money. So I felt like my only option was really to just rent it out and wait until the market recovered. So that's what I did. I've had three sets of tenants total since 2011, and two-thirds have been an absolute nightmare.
So sorry to hear that. So let's kind of walk through everything. So the very first tenants that you had, what happened with them? Like, where did that go bad?
Well, so my realtor found this tenant. He said he was a former Marine. He worked for a security company, so he had a clearance. He was a government contractor. Everything seemed to be in order. So he chose to pay via, ACH or, automatic transfer into my bank account. So he paid rent every month. So after about 5 months, this was in like September of 2011, all of a sudden I didn't get rent. So I emailed him and I said, hey, you know, I just want to make sure everything's okay with the transfers because I didn't get your rent payment. So he says, He emails me back, and it's a really strange email, and he says, well, I accidentally quit my job. So he emails me back after a few days, and he says, well, I couldn't get my job back, so I'm leaving. See you later.
And just, that's it.
He just skips out. He was gone. Just gone.
When you first accepted him, did you do any kind of a background check on him, or did you screen him at all?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, he had a clearance. He worked for a government contractor. He was a former Marine. His credit was pretty good, if I remember correctly. So, okay. I mean,
so
yeah.
There's nothing there that stood out. He didn't have any prior evictions or.
Nope. Wow. Nothing stood out.
And you never heard from him again after he left?
I actually kept emailing him and I threatened him with a lawsuit and I was like, listen, I am going to come after you and it's going to hurt. And by the way, the cops are after you. So he finally paid me what he owed me. I bullied him into paying me what he owed.
Good for you. That's great. That's great. So, okay. So you were made whole on that, but you did have some vacancy that you weren't counting on between tenants, right? And then, so your next tenants were great. You got them in there. Everything was fine. Yep. And they stayed for a full year and then they moved on.
Right.
Okay. And then the third tenants, these are the troublemakers, right?
Oh, so, my God.
So tell me what happened with this. So when these tenants applied, everything, did you do the same kind of background check on them and everything looked good?
So this time, I had a property manager. I got a property manager because I felt like I couldn't really handle, you know, trying to be a landlord and trying to work my regular job. So I got a property manager, and this is somebody my property manager found. Okay. Now, the Winchester-Frederick County area is a pretty small area, so a lot of people know one another. Mm-hmm. So my property manager was actually friends with this guy's dad. And he told me, listen, he said, their house burned down. They lost their business and they have a bankruptcy on record, but they paid 6 months up front. And I know this person's father. So I think they're going to be okay. So if you agree, we'll go ahead and rent to them.
Okay.
So at this point I thought about it and I said, you know, people run across bad times. It happens. Especially in this economy, you know, their business went under, their house burned down. I mean, I felt like, okay, they made a good faith effort. They not only paid a security deposit plus a pet deposit, but they gave us 6 months rent up front. So I was like, all right, let's just do this. In addition to that, you know, I was paying both my mortgage and my rent here in Arlington. So basically 80% of my take home pay was going to housing. Mm. And that's kind of an unsustainable economic model, you know?
Sure.
So I, you know, despite the fact that they had a bankruptcy on record, I said, okay, you know, they ran across some hard times. Let's do this.
And so they had the 6 months up front, which is awesome. But was there a plan on how they were going to pay after the 6 months? Were they going to go monthly after that? Or were they going to give
yes.
you? Okay. Okay.
Yes.
So 6 months up front, and then starting at month seven, they would go monthly.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. And so on month seven, did they pay?
Yes. Yes. Okay. As a matter of fact, they paid pretty much on time for the entire year. They would give my property manager a check, and then he would send me, you know, after he took out the fee, he would send me the rest, and everything was fine up until about September of 2014.
Okay. Now, is that longer than a year? Or
yes.
Okay. So the 1 year lease was over, and then you got them into a new lease, or you extended the old lease?
Right.
Okay.
The lease extended. And then my property manager called me in September of 2014. So this was last year. And he said, listen, you know, I'm a little concerned about these tenants because they keep paying later and later every month. I have to hound them. You know, he said they do eventually pay, but like for this month, they haven't paid me. This is like September 25th. I still haven't received payment, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to start eviction. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, get in contact with them and give them the warning that you're going to start eviction process if they don't pay by a certain date. And they did. But they continued to consistently be late. Mm. So come January, they were so late that I wound up being late with my mortgage.
Oh, wow.
So at that point, I decided I can't do this anymore. I talked to a realtor. I said, did the economy recover enough that I can actually sell this house and not lose my shirt? And he said, yeah, I think so. So we decided to put the house on the market. I finally issued them a 2 month notice in early February saying you have until, I think it was March 31st or April 1st or whatever it is, to vacate. I'm ending your rental agreement. Bye-bye.
And how did they take that? Did they start fighting you then, or
no,
did things get
no,
worse?
No, they didn't. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, so my property manager gave them the notice, and the wife came out, and she said, yeah, I kind of figured this would happen. You know, we'll be out in 2 months. So come like March 23rd-ish, I get this panicked call from the woman on my cell phone, and she left a message. I just need one more week. We're not done packing yet. We just need one more week. We'll be out. I promise, blah, blah, blah. So I call her back. I said, what is going on? She's like, well, my husband is trying to find this new job, and I haven't had a chance to pack yet. And I'm like, you had 2 months to pack.
Right.
She's like, no, we just need one more week. We'll be out in a week. I promise. So I said, what you're telling me is that you will be out by April 5th. And she said, yes, we'll be out. I promise. So I called my property manager, and what he had done was basically draw up an agreement saying that A, they would be out by the 5th, and B, that they would pay the rent for the extra days that they stayed.
Mm-hmm. And were they paying the rent with this extended period, with a 2 month warning period? Were they paying you then? Okay. Okay.
Yes, they were.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of thought everything was going to be okay. But then, you know, he gave them this agreement and didn't hear from them. And finally, early April, my property manager gets this email from them saying, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, we haven't been able to find a place. We'll move when we're good and ready. Sorry. No.
Wow. Wow.
So I'm in Miami. I'm TDY. I'm in Miami. I am freaking out. Just completely freaking out. I'm like, listen, I have a contract with painters to get in there to paint the house. They need to leave.
Yeah.
So at that point, you know, we issued them a notice, you know, either leave or show up in court. On June 19th, we had a hearing to gain immediate possession of the house. They were instructed to show up and they didn't. So we got immediate possession of the house. After court, I go to my house and oh my God.
What happened?
I can't even begin to describe the kind of mess that they left. They left wood junk, taken apart furniture, just random crap in the driveway. The garage was so messed up and there was so much stuff in there that we couldn't even identify that the contractor that I'd sent out to look at the house was convinced that there was some kind of hazardous material in the garage. So we had to call the police with bomb sniffing dogs to make sure that it was safe to come in.
Wow.
I mean, oh my God, there were dents in the walls. They had left food in the refrigerator, like a ton of food. Dirty, disgusting clothes in the bedrooms, like boots and clothes and just grime. The contractor picked up the carpet. He kind of picked up a corner of the carpet. He said the animal smell was so overwhelming that he had to find out where it was coming from. So he picked up one of the corners in one of the bedrooms in the carpet, and they essentially let their animals use that entire room as a bathroom.
Wow.
So the carpet was saturated, the padding was saturated, the underfloor was saturated with animal feces or animal urine. Mm. So that had to be completely torn out. I mean, it was so disgusting. They left junk in the basement, like books and furniture and garbage and you name it. And then they proceeded to turn off the electricity and bail out. So when rains came along, the sump pump malfunctioned and my entire basement is now covered in water. So I have a water mitigation team. Yeah.
How much is this all going to cost you?
So they told me it was probably going to be around between basically $4,000 and $5,000 just for the basement. It cost $1,800 to get all the junk and garbage and all the just vast amounts of hazardous waste and disgusting crap out of the house. It, you know, I have to pay to get the carpet replaced in that one room that they completely destroyed with their animals. I had to rent a dumpster to get all their junk out. So basically we're talking probably anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000.
Wow. And then all the lost rent.
We're talking like $6,000. At the very least, in lost rent plus penalties. You know, the entire time they were late, like every month that they were late, we were actually entitled to collect 10% late fees, which we never did. Mm-hmm. You know, so and we were actually entitled to evict them after a certain amount of time, which we also never did. So I thought we were being really nice until this.
Right.
And you want to hear the really nasty part?
Let's hear it.
So, about a year after they moved in, my son goes on the Virginia Sex Offender Registry and finds out that the husband is a registered violent sex offender.
Did that happen while he was living in your house? Or
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
He was convicted in 2000.
Well, now that's a red flag that I would think your property manager probably should have found, right?
Yeah, I mean, one would have thought, but we didn't know anything until he actually registered at my house.
Okay.
And at that point, from what I understand, like, we're not allowed to boot him based on his criminal record because he's already in the house. So as long as they're paying and not destroying the house, you know, they're considered, you know, paid their debt to society and, you know, whatever. So we couldn't evict him based on that anyway.
Yeah, that's a shame because I think that you could have not rented to him.
Correct.
For that reason. But yeah, once he's in there, Correct. You can't get rid of him for that.
Yep.
Wow. Not good. So what would be some advice that you would give to other landlords to avoid this happening to them? Like what? So I guess the first thing is do the background check. Even if yep. they're going to pay you 6 months up front, do the background check. Do not fall for that 6 months up front. That just right. is never going to end well.
Right.
Are there any other bits of information or some advice that you could give to our listeners to not end up where you are today?
Like you said, you know, do the background check, which we did, but I guess the bigger piece of advice would be don't be nice. And I hate to say that because, you know, again, I felt sorry for them. They lost their house. They lost their business. Their credit wasn't great, but so I was nice and I said, let's go ahead and rent to them anyway. You know, when they were late with the rent, I didn't charge them any penalties. I didn't evict them. Again, I was being nice. And I think the biggest piece of advice is that this is a business. Mm-hmm. I never treated it as a business because to me, this was just something like I need to pay my mortgage. This is the only way I can do this. You know, I never treated it like a business because I never wanted to be a landlord in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So treat it as a business. And I'm glad I had the opportunity to get this message out also because I'm a veteran. So I'm an Army veteran. I'm former military. And I know a lot of military folks are faced with that particular situation where they have to rent their house out. They're either, you know, PCSing, permanently change of station, or, you know, they're deploying or whatever it is, but they have to rent their houses out. And sometimes they're desperate and they'll find somebody to do it. And then, you know, they go overseas or they deploy or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden their house is wrecked. They're not getting rent. I mean, I've heard this happening again and again, and I hate to be a cautionary tale as far as, you know, this issue is concerned, but I think especially if people in the military who are forced into this situation, they need to be extremely cautious.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, do you blame your property manager at all? Do you think there's anything he could have done better, maybe checking on the house or been more aggressive when things started to go bad?
You know, it's hard to blame him. I mean, you know, he gave me the information up front. The house, whenever he stopped by there, when they were still living there, was not a wreck. They did fine. You know, he did inform me when concerns arose. I think the only thing he could have done differently is actually run a criminal background check mm-hmm. instead of just saying, hey, you know, I know this guy's dad. They've run across some hard times. So maybe he could have been a little less nice too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good advice. Like you got to have firm rules and you got to stick with them. You know, you can't be nice. I think you got to run those background checks on everybody and yep. and be really firm. Well, Nikki, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm sorry you had to tell this story, but I'm glad it was told. And I hope you get the house sold and can move on.
Thanks. I'm going to try. It's been a long slog, but hopefully we'll get it out.
If you're curious and you want to see some pictures of the damage, you can check it out on our show notes page, We have a link at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode42. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.